As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم ما اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
مسیح موعود علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام دعا کی حقیقت بیان فرماتے ہیں.
Hazur says, the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, elucidating the reality of prayer, explains in one place. It is essential that just as one puts in efforts for worldly matters, he should, in the same way, put in efforts for the way of God. There is a proverb in Punjabi, he who asks dies a death, so die and then ask. People state that pray. However, to pray means to die. This is precisely the meaning of this Punjabi proverb, is that one who is overcome with affliction prays. And that prayer is a form of death. The major impact of this is that a person, in a sense, dies. For example, if a person drinks a drop of water and then claims that my thirst is quenched, or that he was greatly thirsty, he would be uttering a falsehood. Indeed, if he were to drink a bowl full of water, his claim would be verified. When prayer is offered in great tribulation, to the extent that the soul melts and flows at the threshold of the divine, that is called true prayer. It is God's way that when such a prayer is offered, God the Exalted either accepts that prayer or God the Almighty responds to it. That is to say that either that prayer is accepted or Allah the Almighty informs one that no, I will not accept a prayer in this way. Thus, this is the reality of prayer. Most fortunate are such people who do not just merely pray ceremonially or merely go through the movements. Rather, they pray with complete conviction and firmity of faith. They pray with the faith that Allah the Almighty accepts our prayers. Alongside this conviction, they then absolutely and devotedly absorb themselves and pray. When they seek guidance or help from Allah the Almighty, when they seek to dispel their anxieties and worries, or if they seek to become the recipient of the blessings of God the Supreme, all of these can only be accepted and can only come to pass when all your efforts, strength, and all your focus and concentration, you submit to God the Supreme and beg and supplicate to Him. Until today, this is our experience, that once this occurs, Allah the Almighty listens to such prayers. Or He guides one in such a manner that even if it is not in accordance with the desire of one who supplicates, still it provides tranquility and reassurance to that one who prays. Further expounding the etiquettes of prayers, the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, has stated, prayer is an astonishing thing. However, it is a pity that those who pray are neither aware of the true manner of prayer, nor in this age are those who pray acquainted with those ways which lead to the acceptance of prayers. The truth is that they are completely unacquainted with the reality of prayer. There are some who deny the effectiveness of prayer altogether. There are others who may not deny it, but their prayers are of such a state that they are not accepted on account of the lack of knowledge of the etiquette and true manner of their prayers, and are not prayers in the true sense. In other words, they are unacquainted with the etiquettes of prayers, and when they are unaware of it, their prayers are not accepted. However, the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, states that the truth is that they do not pray in the true sense and the correct manner of their prayers. Therefore, their condition is worse than that of those who deny the effectiveness of prayer. Their practical condition has pushed many others to the verge of atheism. The first condition for prayer is that a supplicant should never become frustrated, tired, or despair. And nor should he think ill regarding Allah the Almighty that nothing is happening. That is, one should not despair that I have prayed for a long period of time, yet Allah the Almighty has not responded to my prayers. In short, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has provided this discernment and insight regarding the true sense of prayer to us. Most of all, he granted this knowledge of the true sense of prayers to those companions who benefited from being in his direct company and receiving his direct moral training. In fact, through the advent of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, a great change that occurred in the world, and that movement that was started by Allah the Almighty, that also produced many such people who Allah the Almighty desired to create reformation within. They also came to learn of the true sense, etiquettes, and knowledge of prayers. In this way, faith in the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, became firmer and strengthened within these people. At this time, I will relate some accounts of the Sahaba, the companions of the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, who lived in his time and who benefited from his direct company. Those who understood and comprehended the reality of prayer, and whom then Allah the Almighty displayed to the manifestation of the acceptance of prayers, through which their faith also strengthened. And they also became a source of guidance for others. Hadar Mian Muhammad Nawaz Khan Sahib relates the following account. In 1906, here in Sialkot, the plague was rampant. The publication stopped. Dead people were seen in all directions. Maulvi Mubarak Sahib was delivering a dars or religious lecture in the house of Mullah Bakht Sahib. I was lying down. I had also been afflicted with swelling due to the plague. I pray that, O Allah, I have accepted your chosen one. Yet I have also been inflicted with signs of the plague. It would seem that I have gone now. Yet through the power of Allah the Almighty, by the morning, that swelling had come to an end. One of my friends at the time was Muhammad Shah. I observed that he was lying there dead. Muhammad Shah and I were both roommates. Hazrat Khalifa Nuruddin Sahib of Sakna Jammu narrates the following account. Once I was travelling by foot from Jammu directly to Kashmir. On the way near Gujarat, whilst offering prayers in a jungle, I prayed, Allahumma inni a'uzu bika min al-hummi wal-huzni zealously amid great anguish and affliction. That may Allah the Almighty come to improve my circumstances. He relates that after that, Allah the Almighty provided for my livelihoods in such a way that I never faced hardship. Despite not being any particular employment or any specially good job, I would receive thousands of rupees from unknown places. Hadrat Amir Khan Sahib relates that in 1915, my son Abdullah Khan, when I was in Qadian along with my family, was inflicted with the plague. He suffered from such high fever for 2 days that when I left my office at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and arrived home, he was in an extremely critical and frail state. At the time, he was my only child. The mother, that is the mother of the child, was becoming extremely distressed upon seeing the condition of the child. As soon as she saw me, she started weeping and crying. And she gave the child over to me. It was extremely hot. The house was very small and we were alone. This intensified our anxiety further. So the house was small, it was hot weather, and they were isolated or alone. And the child was extremely ill. So their anxiety was intensifying. He said, I picked up the child and put him near my shoulders. Due to the frail state of my child and our own helplessness and weakness, tears started spontaneously rolling down my cheeks. In this state of helplessness, I would repeatedly pray the words that, O our Lord, O my beloved God, in this critical time, apart from you, there is no one else who can remove our anguish and who can provide cure. It is only you alone who can provide cure. In short, I was so absorbed in this prayer and this thought that all of a sudden the thought emerged in my heart that you should supplicate the prayer of the Holy Quran. قُلْنَا يَا نَارَكُونِي بَرْتَمْ وَسَلَامَ عَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمِ. And you should put your hand over the head of the child and bring it downwards, and should do so repeatedly. Thus, whilst weeping and crying, I started to do exactly this. To the extent that within a few minutes, the child's fever abated, only the swelling remained, which through an operation on the next day was also cured. Within 4 or 5 days, the child was completely cured. Hadrat Chaudhry Amir Muhammad Khan Sahib states that when, after a long time of being treated in a clinic in Hoshiarpur, and despite my foot being operated upon thrice and not seeing any improvement, then one day, Nis Sahiba, who was very kind of heart, an English nurse who was very courteous, she stated to me that if you permit, the foot could be amputated from the ankle because it is not improving, because the condition of gangrene had emerged so that the disease would not move upwards. I consulted with my family at home and gave permission. Upon this, Nif Sahiba took my wife to the other room where the foot was to be cut or amputated. It was the wife who was going to be operated. I sought permission from Nis Sahiba to come alongside, however she said, remain where you are. Subsequently, I performed ablution there, proclaimed the intention of prayer, and became engaged in nafil or voluntary prayer. So the wife was taken away for the operation. He said, there I became engaged in prayers, and my heart was inclined towards a supplication that, O Lord, O Allah, you are all-powerful, you can do whatever you so please. So thus, at this time, save her foot being amputated or cut. Because if the foot is cut, this will be a defect for the entire life. Nothing is impossible for you. With this supplication, I was prostrating, absorbed in prayer, in agony, passion, and anguish. That a voice came from the heavens. La taqnatu min rahmatillah, that never be disappointed or despair from the mercy of Allah. As soon as I lifted my head from prostration after this supplication, what do I see? this Sahiba that nurse is running towards me. And she exclaimed that a civil surgeon said that on this occasion I will clean the wound myself and will not cut the foot. Because the foot can be cut at every time, that is, it can be cut after also. However, once the foot is cut, it cannot be rehabilitated. Upon this great manifestation of the power of Allah and His love, I can sacrifice hundreds of times, who in such a critical time showed the miracle of La Taqnatu, that never be disappointed. And thus, the foot was saved from being cut or amputated. Hadrat Amir Khan Sahib relates that once, in 1925, due to certain expenses, there were redundancies in the Anjuman, and I was also made redundant. I was extremely worried about the financial circumstances. In this difficulty, I saw no route apart from praying to God Almighty, so I submitted to Him. Ramadan arrived, and I was unable to further pray during this month. Then, in itikaf, I was unable to pray with further anguish, agony, and passion. I then received a revelation in the language of Punjabi, that persists with the difficulties and hope for better days. However, when, even after some time, after receiving this revelation, I was still embroiled in financial difficulty, I received another revelation. Do not grieve, because I see my beloved one in this distress. This was in Persian. So, a few days after receiving this glad tiding, Allah the Almighty granted me with a son. His name is Mahmood Ahmed. Subsequently, in August 1926, I worked in the department relating to land. I then started receiving 19 rupees a month as a sub-inspector. In other words, instead of 30 rupees a month, Allah the Almighty provided me with an income of 90 rupees a month. Hadrat Babu Abdurrahman Sahib narrates his account of his journey with Hadrat Rustam Ali Sahib. That Chaudhary Sahib and I, alongside a few other Ahmadis, by horse-drawn carriage, arrived in Qadian. We had seen that road for the first time. There were so many jerks that it was just beyond explanation. The body would ache. There were ditches throughout the entire road. It was not even a road. It was as if made of dirt. Until journey by train was made available, we would have to travel by this road, at times by horse-drawn carriage, or by times by other modes. Upon arrival in Qadian, we stayed in the guest house. Chaudhary Sahib and myself came before the Promised Messiah, Onur be peace. The Promised Messiah, Onur be peace, was sitting on the roof which was on the northern side of the mosque. It was a small mosque, and it was a small area where he was sitting. There were approximately 10 to 12 other people present there. Maulvi Hakim Nuruddin Sahib and Maulvi Abdul Karim Sahib were also there present. After shaking hands, Chaudhary Sahib introduced me. I presented a small amount of contribution to the Promised Messiah alayhi salam wrapped in a handkerchief, who took it. After a short time, upon my request, the Promised Messiah alayhi salam took my initiation, my bath. After the bath, all those present prayed for me. Taking leave from the Promised Messiah alayhi salam, we again reached Batala on the dirt road, and by train we then arrived home and reached Batala city. Because we had left midway through the construction of our home, that is, they were making a home in those days and they had left for Qadian. So they said that when they returned, they resumed the work of the construction of the home. When the first floor was ready, and construction of the second floor began. Then suddenly, I fell ill. My temperature of fever would reach 104. Many days passed in this state. Chaudhary Rustam Ali Sahib would come to inquire about my well-being on a daily basis, and he would reassure me that I write to the Promised Messiah alayhi salam for prayers for you every single day. One day, during the day, I saw in a dream that my late sister is saying to me that the prayers have been accepted. When I woke up, I saw my wife, my brother, and my son, and I stated to them that my sister was just standing here and she was saying that the prayers have been accepted. However, what occurred after that, after the temperature continued to rise, and for many days I was unconscious. everyone at home was in despair. In particular, the late Jyotirushtamari Sahib was extremely anxious that, God forbid, if death occurred at this particular time, then everyone would allege that this happened as a result of him taking the bet, the initiation, and this would have a very bad impression on the household and also upon his friends who took the bet, the initiation with him. Jyotirushtamari Sahib became engaged in prayers, and he would on a daily basis write to the promised Messiah for betterment of health. Gratitude to God that I began to feel relief, and within a month I was completely relieved. We said our Eid prayers in the shops. Alhamdulillah, all praise belongs to Allah. The dream had come to pass in the same manner that Allah the Almighty had displayed. Hazrat Hafiz Mubarak Ahmed Sahib narrates the following. That Hazrat Khalifatul Masih I used to greatly respect and revere Maulvi Khan Malik Sahib. Maulvi Khan Malik Sahib would explain the reason behind this himself. He said, in my student days, Hazrat Maulvi Sahib would say to me that pray that I become a very major person. By major person, he meant spiritual progress. He said, hearing this from Hazrat Khalifatul Masih I, I would pray for him most profusely. I prayed for Hazrat Maulvi Sahib. I observed the signs of the acceptance of this prayer, and I said to him that you will become a major religious scholar. So this was the purpose of that prayer and his request, that he should become a great religious scholar. Hazrat Abdul Sattar Sahib, son of Abdullah Sahib, relates that after the prophecy of the promised Messiah alayhi salam, afatid diyaru mahilluha wa maqamuha, that the temporary abodes will be eliminated and would the permanent abodes be eliminated. This was a prophecy to the promised Messiah on whom be peace. He states, 3 days before the earthquake, I saw a dream. The promised Messiah alayhi salam is sitting in our house upon a straw-type bed. I say that the people of my village are inflicting me with great suffering. Please pray for me. The promised Messiah alayhi salam said in Punjabi that this is exactly what I do. This is what he was told in the dream. I once again requested the promised Messiah alayhi salam that please pray for me separately. The promised Messiah alayhi salam grabbed one of my arms and started praying with one hand. That is, in the dream, I started praying with both hands. We were yet praying when a huge earthquake struck. I was just about to fall when I forcibly embraced the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. Whilst hugging him, I woke up from the dream. Early morning, I arrived in Qadian. The promised Messiah alayhi salam had erected a large tent in the garden. When I went towards the tent, the promised Messiah alayhi salam was walking outside. I said salam, showed due respect, and shook his hand. I said that I would like to relate a dream. The promised Messiah alayhi salam approved. I related this very dream. The promised Messiah alayhi salam repeated the words, "You will be saved," approximately thrice. So after this, plague struck our home. My wife and daughter both were inflicted with the plague. People said that tens of people die here daily. If you die, then who will dig your grave? Because no one will come near the Ahmadis. Who will lift your body? Who will clean your body? Upon this, I responded that leave our matter to Allah the Almighty. My wife was on the brink of death. I performed ablution and supplicated that, O Lord, there is no one to even dig our grave, nor is there anyone to lift us up and clean us. At the time I had some oranges. I peeled them and was feeding my wife. When she had eaten them, her fever or temperature subsided. Upon the boils that had emerged on my daughter, there is a type of plant, the liquid of which I applied upon my daughter, through which she gained some relief. I then started supplicating to God, and I prayed in Punjabi. And when I said Alhamd, these words would emanate themselves from my tongue. That kul siru fil arde kayfa kana hafidhu ilay. My wife and daughter were both saved, at which point I recall the promised Messiah alayhi salam statement when he said thrice, "You will be saved. You will be saved, you will be saved." With the grace of Almighty Allah, they were saved. Hazrat Mir Mahdi Hussain Sahib relates the following account. One day, after the morning prayer in Masjid Mubarak, I was standing alongside Pir Siraj ul Haq Sahib at the doorstep of his house. Pir Sahib was relating some long story about somebody. I somehow came to know that my life is in danger. In other words, he felt that this was so. During those days, I would stand guard at the door of the promised Messiah alayhi salam. I ran from there. In parallel, Muhammad Akbar was bringing some goods and entered the forecourt. The promised Messiah on whom be peace came from upstairs. He inquired, "Is Mia Mehdi Hussain here?" Akbar Khan said, "No, he must be standing at the shops." I immediately called out that, "Hazur, I am present." Akbar Khan Sahib said he must have come from somewhere. The promised Messiah alayhi salam then instructed that take this Holy Quran and find out from someone the verse of the Holy Quran related to the subject and mark it and bring it back. He said, "At this time I was absorbed in such a state that I desired that I should discover that verse myself and present it, that verse that the promised Messiah alayhi salam was in search for. However, it was not possible for me to locate it. I prayed to Allah the Supreme." Look how Allah the Almighty immediately answered his prayers. He said, "Standing there, I prayed to the divine threshold that may I come to know what that verse is. Praying this, I opened the Holy Quran, and my first glance came upon that verse which the promised Messiah alayhi salam was in search for. I said, 'Hazur, this is the verse.' The promised Messiah alayhi salam said, 'Yes, go and ask Hakim Fazluddin Sahib.'" In other words, he had sent him to go to Hakim Fazluddin to find that verse. I said, "Hazur, this is the verse." The promised Messiah once again said, "Yes, go and ask Hakim Fazluddin." Once again I said, "Hazur, this is the verse here. What is to be asked of Hakim Fazluddin?" The promised Messiah alayhi salam then took the Quran from my hand and looked at this verse. He said, "Yes, this is the verse." And then he went back upstairs. Hazrat Hafiz Ghulam Rasool Sahib Wazirabadi relates, "I do not remember clearly or vividly, however I remember that after the last debate, a pamphlet was published by the promised Messiah on whom be peace. And with regards to the great meeting, the promised Messiah alayhi salam's revolution was included, with reference to the philosophy of teaching of Islam, that my article would be judged best. At that time I was ill for some reason. But because this was a lofty claim, yet this was such an illness that I was extremely frail and weak. However, the promised Messiah alayhi salam's claim was told that my article will be judged best. Who can say this unless they are guided by God?" He said, "An Ahli Hadith Maulvi in Lahore, with great difficulty due to my weakness, took him alongside me to the place where the convention was taking place. I heard the lectures of Maulvi Sanaullah and Maulvi Muhammad Hussain Batalvi and others. However, they were all hollow and without any impact. However, when Hazrat Mirza Sahib's article began, there was absolute silence. To the extent that other people even gave their time to listen to the promised Messiah alayhi salam's article, and the number of days were extended. When this article reached its conclusion, I immediately at that very place raised my hands and prayed to the Divine that, 'O Lord, look how Allah the Almighty guides righteous and sincere people.' He said, 'O Lord, if this is that same person regarding whom is a prophecy of your beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then through his blessings cure me of this ailment.' In short, after the convention completed, when I exited from the lodge door, then by God, I felt as if I had no disease left. From that day until this, that illness never re-emerged." Subsequently, he became an Ahmadi. Hazrat Allah Bagh Sahib relates the following, that in the case of Karam Deen, first Chandulal was the judge, then a friend, Arya Gardari Lal. He was an accountant. He informed me of the news. He says, that is, one of my friends who was an Arya Gardari Lal, who was an accountant, he came and informed me that our committee has come to the decision that Mirza Sahib should be severely punished. I heard this news and informed the Promised Messiah alayhi salam. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam stated that pray. That is, he also said to him to pray. He said, I returned. When I reached Amritsar, it was a time of the morning prayer. I went to the mosque and I was sitting in the arch. Perhaps I was reciting the Durood Sharif when in my right ear, which was practically closed, that is, the right ear was practically closed. He said, even now it is practically closed. He said, I heard a very loud voice that Chandulal will die before the verdict is announced. I once again came before the Promised Messiah alayhi salam and stated that I heard this voice loudly in this ear, that Chandulal will perish before the verdict is announced. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam said, this dream is one filled with glad tidings and pray. After this, I see in a dream that there is a Muslim magistrate. He is giving water in a white glass to Atmaram. In the depiction in the dream of Atmaram, he is somewhat crippled on one leg. After that, when the date for the announcement of the verdict arrived, I was in Gurdaspur. Somebody was going on leave or was being transferred. To see him off on the train, some other people had come, amongst whom was Atmaram. I realized that he was the same person who I had seen in the dream. Then I went where the Promised Messiah alayhi salam was. He was on a mat, sitting down. Outside, I sat down alongside him. At the time when Atmaram was returning from the station, and he came to the court, then where we were sitting, there were only two routes to the court. I asked a friend that who is this person. He said he is dealing the case of the Promised Messiah alayhi salam. He said, I was shown this person beforehand. Regarding Chandulal, I should also mention that the Promised Messiah alayhi salam himself had received news from Allah the Almighty. Once someone said that the magistrate Chandulal intends to imprison you. So the Promised Messiah alayhi salam was at that time was lying down on a mat and he sat up. He stated, I do not see Chandulal upon the seat of a judge. Subsequently, he was demoted from this position and he was degraded. He was transferred to Multan. He obtained a pension and came somewhere else and he suffered a terrifying end. He became a madman and then he died. On such occasions, the Promised Messiah alayhi salam would pray himself, he would be reassured by Allah, but still he would say to his companions to pray, and then whatever dreams they would see, he would listen to them and then remark. Hazrat Mirza Ghulam Nabi Sahib relates the following. When I performed the bayt, the initiation, then I was very enthusiastic to read the revelations of the Promised Messiah alayhi salam. In those days, in the newspapers in Madar and other newspapers, they would write things in opposition to the Promised Messiah's revelations. I would often read these newspapers in opposition. This had the following impact upon me, that I became anxious and worried about the nature of the revelations. That is, in the newspapers of the opposition, they would mention these revelations and then they would write absurd and adverse analysis upon it. He said, through this, it developed anxiety in me. One day I supplicated to Allah the Almighty that, O Lord, I cannot comprehend this reality. Through your grace, enable me to comprehend. Suddenly, in the afternoon, I was in a state of drowsiness or half sleep. In that, I see a bluish horse descend from the heavens. As the horse arrives near the earth, it would brighten further. A blaze of fire would emit like lightning from its neck. I received the inspiration in my heart that this is a sign of your leader. Very soon this light will reach the earth and will cause the opposition to become pale-faced. A few months after this, the sign of the bright star of the Promised Messiah alayhi salam, which is mentioned in Haqiqatul Wahi, manifested. Regarding this sign, I should give some brief details. The promised Messiah on whom be peace states regarding this, that subsequently the manner in which his revelation manifested was as follows, that is, the sign of the bright star, that exactly on 31st March 1907, 25 days after 7th March, a huge blaze of fire, which causes the heart to tremble, manifested in the heavens. It was so bright that its light was spread over approximately 700 miles, that is, up to the knowledge known to now when this was written, or perhaps it was more than this. It was seen falling down upon the earth. It fell upon the earth in such a horrific way that thousands of people were astonished through its display. Some people fell on the floor unconscious, and they had to be resuscitated by putting water in their mouth. Many people believed that it was a blaze of fire, which appeared in an extraordinary way, and it manifested that it fell to the earth, and then it became smoke and rose to the heavens. Other people believe that like a comet, there was smoke in one part of it. And most people believe that it was a terrifying type of blaze which came from the north and went to the south, whilst others say that it came from the south and went to the north. This occurred at approximately 5:30 in the evening. Thus in this manner, Allah the Almighty indicated to the Sahaba, the companions of the promised Messiah towards certain signs, those signs which then manifested. In this way, it became a means of the strengthening of faith. Thus, the acceptance of prayers and through illuminating signs, God, the Supreme, further enhanced the faith and conviction of those companions. By virtue of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, the knowledge and discernment of the etiquettes and the reality of prayers acquired by the companions of the promised Messiah, we should pray with reference to it, that may Allah the Almighty enable every single one of us to acquire that very insight and discernment. May Allah the Almighty also show us the signs of acceptance of prayers through illuminating signs. May every single one of us come to strengthen in our faith and conviction of the promised Messiah on whom be peace. May all of us establish a strong and special connection with Allah the Almighty. Thus, these are the prayers that each and every Ahmadi need to pray today. This revelation that I mentioned, that neither will any temporary or permanent abode remain, with reference to the state of affairs in the world and the threat of a world war breaking out. We need to pray regarding this also. May Allah the Almighty safeguard every single Ahmadi, in fact the entire mankind from this, and may these vices and calamities that are impending be averted. Inshallah, God enabling, I am once again going on tour for a few weeks. Please pray that Allah the Almighty blesses this tour in every respect. May the Jalsas of USA and Canada also be blessed in every way. In the world, aside from Pakistan, there are attempts to make life difficult for Ahmadis. May Allah the Almighty abate the evil of these people who include governments and manifest a sign of His might and power. May Allah the Almighty further manifest the truthfulness of Ahmadiyyat. May Ahmadis everywhere be safeguarded from all types of harm and danger.
Alhamdulillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل الفضل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.